Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
It's going to be a football game tonight, man.
No doubt.
It's going to be a football game.
Here.
Okay.
I've been here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfrow, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max, and this is the first one where we get to actually break down what happened on Monday Night Football on this one. If you're listening on WTM Network or our Football to the Max feed, right now you're getting our Monday Night Football breakdown exclusive to YouTube, our feed, and the WTM Network feed. If you're listening to this through Last Word on Pro Football or some other, possibly on the blog talk with the Rylington Broadcasting, you're probably getting the entire show in one gulp. But we're still going to start out with the Detroit Lions going into the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, and getting a big win against the Giants, 24-10. Just Ben McAdoo was at the press conference here after the game and had to say that he had a few choice words for his quarterback, Eli Manning, on the delay of game penalty that made it to where they couldn't go on fourth down. The way things were going for the Giants, would they have made it there? Who knows? You know, and then if you're turning it over on downs at that point with no points, how much worse is it? So,
well,
I can answer that question. No, they wouldn't have made it whatsoever. I mean, have you seen their offensive line? I mean, come on now.
I think we didn't. All you need to know is 5 sacks on Eli Manning on this evening. 3 of them by Ziggy Ansah, which makes it more sacks than he had all year last year. Of course, that's also with him playing almost the entire year with a high ankle sprain, which doesn't help you at all when you're needing to use speed and use your feet and legs to get around quarterbacks. That being said, Eli Manning had pressure all game. It didn't help things at all that they lost right tackle Bobby Hart on the opening series, which pushed their line around a lot. Justin Pugh had to move to right tackle. Brett Jones had to play left guard. And that line already had problems against the Cowboys last week. You didn't need to give them another problem on the line. And on the defense, no Janoris Jenkins in this game and no linebacker B.J. Goodson, a guy that made, I don't know how many tackles with the Cowboys last week either. So you're missing big parts on your defense, and you could feel it on both sides for the Giants. But with that being said, they were still in this game. for large parts of it, Eric. And I feel like you can say what you want about the defense, you know, allowing touchdowns and special teams allowed that big punt return that put them in a big hole and pretty much iced the game. But still, how many fourth quarter comebacks has Eli Manning led? And how many times did receivers either drop the ball or have it knocked out of their hands by a defender?
I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., ankle and all. Oh, that was a whole big lead up to whether or not he would even play tonight. Well, he did, but just like he dropped 8 passes during the regular season, 2 in the playoffs, he had a couple of big drops tonight, including one on fourth down. Brandon Marshall, whose name you hardly heard called, one big opportunity in the fourth quarter as the Giants still have a reasonable chance. He drops a pass that would have been at the very least close to a touchdown. There's no real faith with this receiving core. Now, granted, you did have some shining stars, some big plays, but that was mostly from their tight ends. As far as these wide
receivers... Evan Engram is supposed to be that play that they give Engram where nobody knows that he's in the backfield and then he just runs straight through to get the touchdown was a great play call on that one. Dumb by the Lions defense not to realize that he obviously is not a blocker. But then you have the dumb decision by Engram to do the crotch grab, which gets him the 15-yard taunting penalty, which makes it really easy for the Lions to get the ball at the 45-yard line because of an illegal procedure. You don't kick the ball out of bounds on a kickoff, folks.
You just don't. I don't know how that happened. I mean, kickoff out of bounds, the taunting penalty. Even late in the game, Odell Beckham Jr. with a clearly missed illegal block in the back that sent one of the Lions to the tent. I mean, there's 0-2, but this is just like they're extremely pissed off at the world 0-2. I'm getting where McAdoo's kind of coming from here.
Well, I mean, that delay of game, obviously, Eli Manning, you should know where the play clock is. I totally get him on that one. I don't think that that's throwing the guy under the bus. I do think that McAdoo needs to look at some of his play calling and understand that there's mistakes to be had here. Eli Manning overall, 22 out of 32. He doesn't go over 300 yards. The Giants, again, I think, what, for the fourth time? Or for a while now, have not gotten more than 20 points in a game.
Eighth,
yeah. They haven't gone more than 9, I think it is, since 1970-something.
This ties their longest streak since the 78 and 79 seasons, where they moved into the old Giants Stadium. They were still breaking that in fresh. In 79, you remember a guy named Phil Sims? That's the year he was drafted out of Moorhead State. Even then, the fact that they went, 5 quarters of the season without a touchdown? That was the first time they did it since, 22?
Yeah.
It's something utterly ridiculous in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, again, I want to state that I think the defense, for the most part, played well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're keeping them in this game. Yeah, Amir Abdullah goes 86 yards. He had that big long run that eventually got him injured. He didn't come back in. Stafford's your second leading rusher after that, which that's on the defense. There's a couple of times where Stafford ran and they should have been there to get him. But for the most part, look, you've got Ebron is your leading receiver, 42 yards. Marvin Jones has the one catch, which winds up being the touchdown. Ebron also gets a touchdown, which if you started Ebron in fantasy, I guess you got something positive on that, because normally you don't. But I think this one's on for me. Stafford did what he's supposed to do with the Lions. I think they've proven that they're going to go more ball control this year and run more. They've done that. Yeah, because you don't want to put it all on Stafford, even though he did throw four touchdowns last week. This one, for me, the Giants just didn't do enough. Their rushing attack is still awful. Doesn't help, again, when you have the offensive line problems you had at the beginning of the game. And the drops. I mean, Beckham only comes in. He gets four catches. The one he misses is the drop. He got targeted five times. You know, Brandon Marshall gets one catch for 17, and he was targeted five times. Not a good ratio. Again, that big drop that he has, yeah, he did have it kind of knocked out. And I will say the huge play by, I think it was Slay that knocked it out of Ingram's hands.
Big play, really close to the play.
Yeah, that was a huge play. So big ups to the Lions defense for going out there, doing their job, getting the interception, the punt return for a touchdown, the sacks. Just that defense was switched on to go on the road, get a win like that. I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Lions. And perhaps they're showing that they can be much more efficient this year, and you need to next week. That game against Atlanta is big.
It really is. And the fact that they beat Atlanta, mentioning what that would do to Atlanta aside, even with them, now you're saying, okay, the Packers have a legitimate threat in the NFC North. Now, can they keep it up? Well, the schedule is really going to determine that over the next 3-4 weeks. But if they go to the point to where, as you said, more ball control, a little bit more balanced offense with the receiving core that they still have, they're not going to be pass happy. And guess what? They may not be in a situation where they're going to need a lot of fourth quarter comebacks.
I mean, I think Stafford and everybody knows what you're going to get into with the Falcons, right? You're going to have to put up points. And if there's a team that can certainly do that, it's the Lions. Just you have to – and you're at home too, which helps on that end.
I'm not going to say any of the big cliches because it'll turn out the exact opposite, and it's really not what I want. But there is a lot of potential for this game.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is hype up a game and then it doesn't deliver. So, but certainly this is going to be one that people are going to be watching. The win puts it at a 2-0 team facing a 2-0 team next week. And again, you got teams that are matched up well. Obviously, Falcons have the edge in the running game, I think, from the experience and everything. And then, you know, you've got the, I guess you could say they had the better group of receivers just because Julio Jones is pretty much better than anybody individually on that Lions receiving core. But look, you know.
Well, it's not just Jones. You got to give some credit to guys like Mohamed Sanu.
Well, no, obviously. But, you know, Julio Jones is the, and Austin Hooper as well, the tight end. But, yeah, I mean, When you're looking at Stafford with all those fourth quarter comebacks and everything, don't put it past them to do something. But as we'll talk about a little later on with what the Falcons did to the Packers, it's something that this would be huge for the Lions if they got the win. Now, on the Giants side of things, this is not good at all. I do want to mention that one of the Lions' best defenders, their quarterback defensively, Gerard Davis, the rookie from Florida, concussion. He's in the protocol. He should be okay for next week, but we'll see. Those things are always very touchy
Odell Beckham Jr. wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if he took a little hit to the wallet for that one.
Yeah, we'll see this week what they decide to do. But again, just a total team effort as far as the defense, the special teams made some big plays holding Dwayne Harris and doing anything. And if you're looking at the Giants as far as next week, another team that we'll talk about a little later, they're facing a divisional opponent in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. That defense is absolutely destructive. And if you come in with that offensive line, oh boy.
Destructive, and after what happened on Sunday, angry.
Yeah, certainly angry, but it's not just that. It's a divisional opponent. Eagles and Giants don't like each other. If you come in with Bobby Hart still out and that makeshift offensive line that you got, Eric Flowers is trending for all the wrong reasons. You can bet that he'll be trending for how many times one of those, you know, whether it's Fletcher Cox or somebody else goes right around one of those offensive linemen. I wouldn't be surprised if they have just as many or more sacks on the Giants in that game, or Eli better start finding a way to get that ball out really, really fast. They are banged up in the secondary a little bit, the Eagles. So that might be something helpful. But we'll get into that game more on Thursday when we preview it. But just want to get in that we're seeing the same problems here for the Giants. Offensive line issues, mm-hmm. not being able to run the ball. They didn't change their game plan at all when they come in the second half, knowing they need to make some plays happen. The Lions just keep doing what they're doing and get a big win.
How can you execute your game plan when the Lions, guys like Haloti Ngata, getting so much pressure, getting to the quarterback, and at times it wasn't just one. Eli Manning was gang-tackled. No matter how many adjustments you make, if you can't execute that at that basic of a level, well, why bother?
No, you're not wrong. You know, the aforementioned Gerard Davis and the man you mentioned, Ngata, the other two guys on the sacks. And just, again, just want to point out that the defense from every point, every line, did something very important. Team effort for the Lions here, and the Giants need to go back at the drawing board as far as you're relying way too much on this defense to cover you and do this, and they're not getting the takeaways they were getting last year. The offense has to pull their weight, or they're going to look down the barrel at 0-3 very fast.
And even in this division right now, yes, everybody else is 1-1, but you're 0-2. Then all of a sudden you do go 0-3. You're looking up at a 2-1 Eagles. Everybody else will run away from you, and fast.
Oh, yeah, certainly. The Monday night game with the Cardinals being without David Johnson and the Cowboys looking to get back into things, you know, they could be 2-1. Don't have it in front of me who the Redskins play right this second.
Is it?
They play the Raiders, which
yep.
on Sunday night, which that possibly they could be, you know, if the Raiders keep going on their way in Oakland, you could be looking at 1-2 there. But hey, don't put it past anything. You never know.
No comment.
Again, we'll get into all that when we get into the preview show on Thursday, but I think that kind of covers it for this one as far as the first solo breakdown being unattached from the show. We appreciate you listening wherever it is that you're listening. Whether it's through the WTO Network, whether it's Football to the Max, the solo subscription. Yeah, make sure you hit subscribe so you get everything. Of course, what we're going to do right after this is our whole Week 2 breakdown, talking about all the other games, where the teams stand, all that kind of stuff, some standouts and everything else. If it's the first time you're listening, it's kind of the better show of the two that we do, so make sure to check it out. And if you like what you hear, hit us a review, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. You can hit the comments. Visit W2Net.com where we post the podcast as well and everything else. Last word on pro football. Check us out .com as well on there. And we'll see you later, everybody.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.